Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Happy 4th of July. Happy off day. Happy celebration day. Happy fireworks day. Happy reflection day. I pray that all is well with you, as all is well with me. Thanking God for another day. Thanking God that I'm feeling a whole lot better than I did early this morning. I woke up with a really sore throat on yesterday afternoon. I was just not feeling well at all. But God is all I can. God, when you have an assignment with the Lord, He makes everything better. You know, I am feeling a lot better. So I thank God this morning for the word, and I thank God for all of you as we move forward in this word. We're starting a little different again today. On yesterday, I left the show, and I kept feeling like I was missing something. And I realized I did not give a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word for today is this. It was yesterday's word, but we're going to use it again this morning. And we will make sure that we give it again at the end of the show. And it is, worry is a conversation you have with yourself about things you cannot change. Prayer is a conversation you have with God about things He can change. And the word was, have a mind for Monday. And I believe I did. And I thank God for my sister in Christ and that word for yesterday that we will share again before the day is over. And again, a prayer for this morning as we get ready to start. I am free. It's our 4th of July word for today. I am free. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you joyous one. You infuse my heart with the joy of one who once was limited, but now is free. Jesus, you laid out the truth of the Father, leveling the playing field for every heart. The religious don't have an advantage, and the beggar doesn't have a disadvantage when it comes to knowing you. No one can buy your love or forgiveness. You freely give to all who ask. What a glorious reality that not only does the truth of God's extravagant love pour out, set us free. It sets every person from every background free. God, where I have become a fool thinking, fooled into letting pride keep me from sharing your incredible life-changing love, may I be set free to share the truth of your word with everyone. Thank you that liberty is not full of obligations. It sets me free to choose how I will live my life. I rejoice in the choices I get to make with and for you today. I am so grateful. Are there any areas that you feel bound by obligation instead of freedom? Something to think about today. Let God use you as you move forward this day. Let us pray. Again, as I was speaking, a news feed about another death. Another death. Over this 4th of July, one dead, nine injured in July 4th weekend fireworks explosion. You know, from being killed to now explosions are just going forth and we're like, what in the world is going on this day? You know, so much that God is in charge of everything. He loves us. He cares about us. And he wants the best for us in all things. We thank God for his grace. We thank God for his love to show us the way. And we ask God to help us to be better. Lord in heaven, I ask you to take control of everything in my life. We ask you, Lord God, to give us strength, to lead us and guide us in the way that we should go, to protect us from all hurt, from all harm, from all danger, God, from those that would do wrong and try to hurt us and harm us in any way. Father God, I give myself away for you to use me, God. And Lord God, I ask anyone trying to attack my phone, trying to attack my systems, trying to attack anything that is yours, God, because I am yours, that you send it right back from winter time. Father God, I ask you to guide me and to lead me, Lord, to show me the way, God, in all things, God. For I trust in you. I believe in you, you, God, to keep us safe from all hurt, from all harm, from all danger. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Giving honor to God this morning and thanking him for his grace, for his mercy, for his goodness, for his kindness, for all things that come just from you, God. And we have God to ask you, God, to show us the way. And the word that God gave for my verse for this morning is from Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. We've got to serve one another. We've got to love one another. We've got to know that each of us are sons and daughters of the Most High, and that God loves us so very much and wants the best for each of us. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, we lift up this word, thanking you, God, in advance for all things. So let's get started, family, in our word this morning. And you know what I'm going to say? It is a great word today. It is a great word on this 4th of July, this holiday. That is just another day that God woke you up this morning. So let's get started. Let's get started, family. And the word for this morning is this. 1st, 2nd Chronicles, chapter 3 through chapter 4, verse 22. 79th Psalm, verses 5 through 10. Proverbs 20:10 through 12. And Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 25. And I'm going to tell you, Acts chapter 12 is where our title is coming from. And it's just the title that God gave me this morning. And the title that God gave is, Nothing is Impossible for God. He can break every chain. Hallelujah. That was the word. And then when I looked at our 4th of July prayer for this morning, and it says, I'm free. Hallelujah. That's a word. It is impossible with God. He can break every chain. I'm free. Hallelujah. And it says this, now Solomon began to build the house of the Lord of Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David, at the place that David had prepared on the thrashing floor of Arnon the Jebusite. And he began to build on the second day of the second month in the fourth year of his reign. This is the foundation which Solomon laid for building the house of God. The length was 60 cubits by cubits, according to the former measure, and the width was 20 cubits. And the vestibule that was in front of the sanctuary was 20 cubits, long across the width of the house, and the height was 120. He overlaid the inside with pure gold, the larger room he paneled with cypress, which he overlaid with, and he carved the palm trees chain work on it, and he decorated the house with precious stones for beauty. The gold was gold from Purim. He also overlaid the house, the beams, the doorposts, its walls and doors with gold, and he carved cherubims on the wall. And he made the most holy place, its length was according to the width of the house, 20 cubits, and its width, 20 cubits. He overlaid it with 600 talents of fine gold. The weight of the nails was 50 shekels of gold. And he overlaid the upper area with gold. He, the most holy place, he made two cherubims fashioned by carving and overlaid them with gold. The wings of the cherubims were 20 cubits in overall length. One wing of the one cherubim was 5 cubits, touching the wall of the ring. And the other wing was 5 cubits, touching the wing. One wing of the other cubits was 5 cubits, touching the wall of the room. And the other wing also was 5 cubits, touching the wing of the other cherubim. The wings of these cherubim spanned 20 cubits over all. They stood on their feet, and they faced inward. And he made the veil of blue, purple, crimson, and fine linen, and wove cherubim into it. Also, he made in front of the temple two pillars 35 cubits high, and the capital that was on the top of each of them was 5 cubits. He made wreaths of chain work as in the inner sanctuary and put them on top of the pillars. And he made 100 pomegranates and put them on the wreaths of chain work. Then he set up the pillars before the temple, one on the right hand and the other on the left. He called the name of the one on the right hand, Jachin, and the name of the one on the left, Boaz. Chapter 4, 4th of July of 2 Chronicles. Moreover, he made a bronze altar, 20 cubits was its length, 20 cubits its width, and 10 cubits its height. Then he made the sea of cast bronze, 10 cubits from one rim to the other. It was completely round. Its height was 5 cubits, and a line of 30 cubits measured its circumference. And under it was the likeness of oxen, encircling it all around, 10 to a cubit all the way around the sea. The oxen were cast in two rows. When it was cast, it stood on 12 oxen, 3 looking toward the north, 3 looking toward the west, 3 looking toward the south, and 3 looking toward the east. The sea was set upon them, and all their back parts pointed inward. It was a hand, and its brim was shaped like the brim of a cup, like a lily blossom. It contained 3,000 baths. He also made 10 levers and put 5 on the right side and 5 on the left to wash in them. Such things as they offered for the burnt offerings, they were washing them, but the sea was for the priest to wash in. And he made 10 lampstands of gold according to their design and set them in the temple, 5 on the right side, 5 on the left. He also made 10 tables and placed them in the temple, 5 on the right side and 5 on the left. And he made 100 bowls of gold. Furthermore, he made the court of the priest and the great court and doors for the court. And he overlaid these doors with bronze. He set the sea on the right side toward the southeast. Then Huram made the pots and the shovels and the bowls. So Huram finished doing the work that he was to do for King Solomon. For the house of God, the two pillars and the bowl-shaped capitals that were on top of the two pillars, the two networks covering the two bowl-shaped capitals which were on top of the pillars, 400 pomegranates for the two networks, 2 rows of pomegranates for each network to cover, the two bowl-shaped capitals that were on the pillars. He also made carts and the levers of the cart, 1 sea and 12 oxen under it, also the pots, the shovels, the forks, and all their articles. Huram, his master craftsman, made a burnished bronze for King Solomon for the house of the Lord. In the plain of Jordan, the king had them cast in clay molds between Sekhov and Gergah. And Solomon had all these articles made in such great abundance that the weight of the bronze was not determined. Thus Solomon had all the furnishings made for the house of God, the altar of gold, and the tablets on which were the showbread, the tables on which there was showbread, the lampstands with their lamps of pure gold to burn in the prescribed manner in front of the inner sanctuary with the flowers and the lamps and the trimmers of gold, of pure gold, the trimmers, the bowls, the ladles, and the censers of pure gold. As for the entry of the sanctuary, its inner doors to the most high, most holy place, and the doors of the main hall of the temple were gold. Can you imagine the cost in today's world of such a place? It would be billions of dollars. And God did that. God's house before destruction was beautiful. A golden palace for our God. It was destroyed. Second temple was nothing like it. Nothing like it. When they came back to build the temple, it was nothing like it. This was a one-of-a-kind building, a one-of-a-kind tribute to the Most High God. One-of-a-kind. Never to be built like it again. Wow. Join me in the 79th Psalm, verses 5 through 10. How long, Lord, will you be angry forever? Will your jealousy burn like fire? Pour out your wrath on the nations that do not know you, and on the kingdoms that do not call on your name. But they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his dwelling place. Oh, do not remember former iniquities against us. Let your tender mercies come speedily to meet us. For we have been brought very low. Help us, O God, of our salvation, for the glory of your name, and deliver us and provide atonement for our sins and for your name's sake. Why should the nation say, where is their God? Let there be known amongst the nations in our sight the avenging of the blood of your servant, which has been shed. Hallelujah. And our life lesson for the 79th Psalm, verse 9, salvation for the glory of your name. When we pray about something for the sake of God's name, we urge him to act in order to defend his reputation, to make his glory known, to honor him, and to let others see his majesty and greatness. God is great and greatly to be praised. We can never forget to give God his due, and his due is our praise. Hallelujah. The highest praise you can give the Lord is just to lift your hand and to say, hallelujah. And I love the song, hallelujah, salvation and glory, honor and power unto the Lord our God. For the Lord our God is mighty. For the Lord our God is omnipotent. The Lord our God, he is wonderful. All praises be to the King of Kings. We got to praise God today. We got to let everybody know who we serve, that we serve an awesome and mighty God who loves us more than words can say, who cares about us more than anything, who wants the best for his children. That is our Father God. And we got to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for giving us liberty. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to serve others. Thank you, Lord, for just being who you are, one and only God. One and only. We've got to praise him. All praises be to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to let God know that we praise him, that we love him, that we want to be his sons and daughters. Hallelujah. 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 In the Lord. Praise the Lord with me. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. And as we go into our proverb this morning, it's the 20th proverb, verses 10 through 12. And it says, diverse ways and diverse measures, they are both alike, an abomination to the Lord. In other words, they cheat people. Diverse weights and diverse measures cheat people. Well, I'm going to tell you that you're 4 foot tall, but if you give me $5 more, then I can measure you again, and I believe you'll be 5 feet tall. If, you know, I know you said you were going to work for a denarius, but I'm sorry. The wake says that you didn't give us enough. You know, we know we said we were going to pay you, you know, $50 for 50 pounds of cotton. Well, you're not quite weighing out to 50 pounds. You know, you're really weighing out to about 40. You cheated. Diverse weights are an abomination to God. And then I love this word because it's a word for children. The word of God tells us to train up a child in the way it should go. When you go, he will not depart from it. But this is one that we need to impart on being honest and kind to our children. Because when a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure and right. You know, you have heard, and I know I've heard, especially in youth ministry, ooh, girl, I don't know why you want that little kid in children's church. He is bad. Or she is something else. She is, ooh, she's just too mouthy. I don't know why their parents need to talk about, oh, children, known by his deeds, what he does is pure and right. I had a phone stolen. It was just when iPhones were first coming out back in 2010. I was in children's church, still getting over my husband's death. And his service at Camp Butler, the military service with the 21 gun salute and all that, I had been taped on my phone. And so it was special. It was very special to me because I had a remembrance of that particular service. And I set my phone down on top of my Bible and went back to get my phone, and my phone was missing. One of the young ladies that was my helper in children's church, she helped me look for it. We looked all over the place for this phone. Could not find it. It broke me down. Girl, watch my upset. Watch me say that phone had memories on it. All this stuff, pictures of my husband. All this was on that phone. You know that little girl had stolen my phone, lied to her mother, told her that I gave it to her, erased so much stuff that was on it. And a breakdown when she had to give it away. It was like she had possessed my phone. She had put some filthy stuff on it. It broke me down. How anybody could be in the house of God and steal a phone off a Bible and lie about it. Even a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure and right. Another little girl decided to steal my checkbook. In the world that she thinks she's going to do with it. But then we realized the electricity was off in our house, and she thought she could write a check on my checkbook and get a mama's life to back up. Broke my heart. Totally broke my heart. And the mother, when we took her home and explained what she did, said you should have put her little expletive in jail. That's where she belongs. This woman put a curse on her child. Put a curse on her. That's where she belongs. I thought, how in the world? It made sense. So understand, just because someone is in church doesn't mean that the church is in them. Even a child can steal. As we know, and that red can kill and can destroy some things. That is why God tells us to train up a child in the way he should go. If a child sees nothing but violence, sees nothing but drug dealing, sees nothing but chaos, then what in the world do you think that child will have in their sphere? Chaos. Drugs. Destruction. And that's why we pray. We take our children to church. We tell our children about Jesus. We let them know that they are loved by the Most High God. And we move them forward with words. And we know that with God, nothing is impossible. He can break the chains of what was. He can break the chains of promiscuity in family. He can break the chains of unwed pregnancies. He can break the chains of poverty. He can break the chains of addiction. He can break the chains of laziness, unemployment, anything that is holding down a family. God can break the chains of the past. The spirit of slavery, God can break it. God is in charge of everything. And when you know who you belong to and who's in charge of your life, everything falls into place. You may have chaos, but God will show you from that chaos how to get order. Trust in God today. Lean not into your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and allow him to direct your path. And as we go to our last verse in our Proverbs, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. It is God that gives you eyes to see and ears to hear. Praise the Lord today. If you can see, say thank you. If you can see, say, I appreciate you. If you can hear, say, thank you, Lord, I hear your word. Because there's somebody who is not able to see clearly. It's somebody who cannot hear this word. It's somebody that's worse off than you, worse off than me. Don't complain. Thank God. You know, I drove down my driveway, and there's this big old tree still in my yard as I think about, Lord, how am I going to pay to get this doggone tree out of my yard? But you know what? I'm going to wait on the Lord. If you drive by and you see my big tree, it's just part of the aesthetic, and I'm leaving it alone because you know what? It's a reminder for one thing that it could have fell on my house, but it didn't. It fell in the yard. Don't tell me what God can do. And as we go forth, it says, now about that time, and I am in the book of Acts, chapter 12. Now about that time, Herod, the king, stretched out his hand to arrest some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Disciple, apostle, number 2. Out of 12, that is God. Died by the sword. Judas died of suicide. So you got a suicide, now you got a murder of one of the 12. The second of the 12 to die. James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter. Also, now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. So his next thing was he was getting ready to kill Peter. So I'm going to kill him too. You know, he got disciple killing happy. And it goes on to tell us, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God by him, by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with 2 chains. Not one, but 2 chains. And 4 squads of, he wanted to make sure that Peter was going to get killed the next day. He wanted to make sure that what he was doing, he was going to show out for the Jews. Oh, yeah. Little Mr. Harris thought he had it going on. But look what God can do. Again, stay with me. 4 squads of soldiers. two big old chains. And on the left, guard sleeping on the right. Talking to soldiers. Two soldiers and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. So let's see. It says that when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real. He thought it was true. But though he was in the vision, when they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that led to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. So I got to go there one more time. Peter, bound in two chains between two soldiers, guard in the front, guard post all down, four squads of soldiers, through all by angel of the Lord. The angel left. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together, praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is his angel." Now Peter continued knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go tell these things to James and to the brethren." Now this James was Jesus' brother James. "And to the brethren, and he departed and went to another place." And he left because he didn't want anybody getting hurt because of him. Then as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. But when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guard and had commanded that they should be put to death. They lost their life because they had tried to keep Peter captive. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. Now Herod had been very angry. You know, you think you all that you think you're above God. That's where Herod had that God complex, as they said. He thought he was God because he had killed one of Jesus' disciples. He thought he had it going on. And he said, with the people of Tarsus, but they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus the king's personal aide, their friend had asked for peace because their country was supplied with food by the king's soldiers. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting. You know, as I read this, I thought about some of the things you see now where people have placed certain politicians and folks on high places, on thrones. And they, you know, have put themselves up there with Jesus, are equivalent to Jesus. And their works of art books up with the Bible. Understand, it's not pleasing to God. When you have people that say they would do, they would not care if this person murdered someone on the White House steps. If this person murdered someone, they wouldn't care. Because this was their person. And that's like these people have said, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, thrown and gave an orientation to them. Oration to them. And the people kept shouting, the voice of a God and not a man. Think that through. When you have folks that put you on pedestal, be careful. The voice of God and not a man. Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Come on now. Don't play with God. And our life lessons from this word of Acts chapter 12 says this for him by the church. Corporate prayer changes the course of the church body. You know, it took me a while to understand that. My pastor preaches it all the time. We have corporate prayer every Tuesday at 5. And I go sometimes, sometimes I don't, because of my job. But one thing I know, that it is important and that it does change the course of a church. Corporate prayer, unified prayer, changes things. And it says, Dr. Stanley tells us, the church had already lost one leader, James, the brother of John, to the executioner. Now it appeared as though it would lose Peter too. But God loves to perform miracles in response to corporate prayer. God will bring miracles about from corporate prayer. When all the saints are gathered together, what a day of rejoicing that would be when we all see Jesus. We will shout and have the victory. We want to have that victory in Jesus. But think all in one accord, all together, praying, it changes everything. Acts 12:9, he went out and followed him, but thought he was seeing a vision. Peter, sleeping through his escape. Peter had seen visions from God before, and this thing looked so unusual that he thought it had to be another one. But it wasn't. It was actually happening. Just as he saw it, nothing is impossible with God. That's our word. Nothing is impossible with God. Can you say it with me one more time? Nothing is impossible with any will. Break your chains of bondage. Whatever your chain may be, ask God to break the chain, to change the trajectory of your future. God is good. And it goes on to tell us, for a life example, Rhoda, joy in prayer. Hallelujah. Late into the night, the church pled for God's mercy on behalf of their imprisoned leader, Peter. Rhoda, a household servant, knew well the believers who met in Mary's large house, but thought they prayed earnestly. But though they prayed earnestly for Peter, it seemed inevitable that he faced a mourning execution. Sutton, come on now. The door interrupted their prayers. Rhoda approached the entrance, listened, and heard a familiar voice. At the gate stood Peter in his excitement. She forgot to let him in. And instead ran to inform the praying church. Peter is at the door, she exclaimed, but not until Peter stood among them, recounting it to living, did they jubilantly acknowledge the Lord's provision. Just as Rhoda's gladness sustained her heart when life became painful, so the joy of Christ sustains you when the future appears impossible. The delight of your salvation helps you endure when disappointment and difficult issues and failure. There's power in prayer. There's power in your prayers. Don't ever take God for granted. And don't ever think that he can't when God will and God can. And a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, we did not get again this morning's word yet, but today's word is, yesterday's word is appropriate for today. In there worrying and praying about Peter, that, oh, they killed James. What are we going to do? We got to pray. And Peter is the leader of the church. You know, he's the one that was anointed by Christ to lead us. What happens if Peter is killed? Oh, we got, and they prayed and prayed, Lord, deliver him. But you know who you called him to be. He is the leader. He is our pastor. He's our preacher. He's our teacher. He's the one. He walked with Jesus, Lord. They're asking you. They're praying. But we all know we don't worry. We pray. And I love what Sister Carolyn tells us. Worry is a conversation you have with yourself about things you cannot change. Come on now. There's, I can't get that tree out of my yard on my own. I can't do it. But God can. God can make a way out of no way for that tree to be removed. And I'm going to trust him. And it says, prayer is a conversation you have with God about things he can change. Hallelujah. And then this morning, your greatest work is not what you have in life. Come on now. But who you have in your life. I'm going to say that again. Your greatest work is not what you have in life, but who you have in your life. Do you have God in your life? Peter did. And what happened? The impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. He can break every chain. And he did. Two soldiers, one on the left, one on the right. Squadron of soldiers. We're talking about 400 or 500 people. And I'm looking here. Oh, wait a minute. There's guards on the outside of the room. Oh, wait. Guard stacks that we got to go past. Of these four squadrons of soldiers. All this, he had to go past to get out. But God, your greatest work is not what you have in life, but who you have in your life. Peter had God. Solomon had God to build that great and mighty temple with all that gold and bronze and silver and everything measured just right. Cubit here, cubit there. Who you have in your life, make God the main part of your life, and every day will be Independence Day. Have a transforming Tuesday, and I got to say it one more time. Your greatest work is not what you have in life, but who you have in your life. I thank God I have it in my life. Make God the main part of your life, and every day will be Independence Day. Have a transforming Tuesday, family, and have a wonderful Independence Day with your family. And remember and speak to those that you love. Nothing is impossible for God. He can break every chain. If there's anyone that has a word that would like to speak this morning, push the number 1. If not, we are wrapping up. Say to you this morning, remember who you are. You are sons and daughters of the Most High. And you are loved by Him more than anything. He woke you up this morning. He put a smile on your face to remind you that you are His child. And He is the Heavenly Father. I thank you, Lord, for this word. I thank you, Lord, for Sister Carolyn's word of encouragement today. I thank you, Lord, for freedom. Freedom to worship you in spirit and truth. Freedom to call on the name of Jesus. Freedom to say, my God is awesome. My God is mighty. My God is great. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray. Please watch between me and everyone that listen live and listen later. As the psalmist, as the scripture says, and as Jacob spoke to his father-in-law, Laman, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, watch from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and wonderful 4th of July. Have a blessed and wonderful independence to worship the Lord God in spirit and truth. Have a blessed day, family. It is, as we say, on Moving Forward. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. Enjoy your day. God bless you. God keep you. May His light shine upon you and give you peace. Be blessed. It's a wrap.